that leans toward Mary worship and also, I guess you could say, Catholicism, although we weren't focused so much on Catholicism. And that may not totally be true either. But anyway, we tried to, because we're going to study Mary next, beginning next week, we'll actually look at the person Mary. Mary worship, and that's what I'm going to talk about tonight. Mary worship really is a prominent part of Catholicism. But also, as we looked at Nimrod, and we went back to Nimrod, his wife, and his son, we saw that mother-child worship was a part of that. There's mother-child worship in different religions, and it really came from paganism. Now, I was saved out of Catholicism. I have no problem whatsoever saying Catholicism is nothing but pagan religion. And I think the more you study it, and the more you study your Bible, the only conclusion that you're going to come up with is that this is a pagan doctrine. So let's read again Revelation chapter 17, the first six verses. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, and I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed the fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven horns and seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of the abomination and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth. So we're talking about Mystery Babylon is a religion. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And the angel said unto me, Wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and the ten horns. I suppose that the most outstanding proof that Mary worship developed out of the old worship of the pagan mother goddess may be seen from the fact that in pagan religion, in many different countries, the mother was worshipped as much, if not more, than her son. And that helps solve the mystery of Babylon and Babylon religion today. Now, you'll agree with this. True Christianity teaches that the Lord Jesus Christ, and he alone is the way, and he alone is the truth, and he alone is the life, and that only he can forgive sin, and only he of all of humanity has ever lived a life that was never stained with sin, and he alone is to be worshipped, never his mother. Nobody will, I don't think anybody that knows anything about their Bible can argue that. But in Roman Catholicism, sharing the influence of paganism has had its development, and in many ways, in a lot of ways, it exalts the mother as much or if not more than the son. You can visit Roman Catholic churches all over the world. I was a Roman Catholic. Everyone that I was in was this way. When we went to Italy, it was worse because even on the street corners in Rome are statues or photos, they're not really photos, but anyway, statues of Mary on the corners of the buildings. Did you see that when you were over there, Marty? And there's just smeared all over the place, and it's really amazing. And the statue of Mary in a Catholic church will occupy a very important position, and in many cases, the statue of Mary is larger than the statue of Jesus. It is the way that it is. Now, in reciting the rosary, I'll explain a little bit more to you what the rosary is, which is vain repetition. The Hail Mary, which is a prayer you are taught as a Catholic, is repeated 7 to 10 times more often than the Lord's Prayer or the Lord's Model Prayer. When you do penance, here's the way penance works. You go into a little booth and you talk to the priest and you tell him your sins. I never told him all my sins. Man, I didn't tell him the bad ones. I'll tell you that right now. But anyway, you go in and you tell him your sins. And then he gives you a series of prayers to do. And that's your penance. So you go out. And I don't ever remember getting penance that did not include, say, this many Hail Marys, this many after contritions, this many Our Fathers, blah, blah, blah. But almost always there would be a significant number of Hail Marys, so it was part of penance. Now, Catholics are taught that the reason for praying to Mary is that she can take your position to her son Jesus, and since she is his mother, he will answer your request for her sake. The reason Mary is more compassionate and more understanding and more merciful than her son Jesus. Now, they teach that. That's contrary to Scripture. Alfonso, this Italian fella, Liguria, or however you say his name, he wrote at length telling how much more effectual prayers are that will be addressed to Mary rather than Christ. He was canonized as a pope by Pope Gregory XIV in 1839, and he was declared a doctor of the Catholic Church by Pope Pius IX, I think. He wrote of an imagery scene where, and this is what he wrote, a sinful man saw two ladders hanging from heaven. Mary was at the top of one ladder, Jesus was at the top of the other ladder. This was an illustration or parable that he was using. When the sinner tried to climb one ladder, he saw the angry face of Christ, and he fell defeated. But when he climbed Mary's ladder, he ascended easily and was openly welcomed by Mary, who brought him into heaven and presented him to Christ. And once the mother presented this sinner to Christ, then he wrote, all was well. Now, the story was an illustration to show how much easier and more effective it is to go to Christ through the mediator, Mary. The same fella, Mr. Liguori, also said that the sinner who ventures to come directly to Christ may come with dread of his wrath, but if he will go to the Virgin, all will be well. Now, they believe that. Turn to Luke chapter 11. The reasoning that they have here really conflicts with Scripture. Luke chapter 11, verse 27. And it came to pass as he spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, blessed is the womb that bare thee and the paps which thou hast sucked. Now, I suppose you know this, but paps are the breasts which nursed the Savior. But he said to this woman that said that, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. You see that? Now, Mr. Liguria said Mary could show her son the breast that gave her suck, the same guy, and his wrath would be immediately appeased. That sounds kind of wild and strange to me, but that's what he wrote. However, you may not know this, the idea of breasts was common in pagan worship. The goddess Diana, some statues have her that show her with like 100 breasts. Now, that's just bizarre, but that's part of this pagan worship. Further doctrine that shows the exaltation of Mary is what is referred to as the Immaculate Conception. Now, that was pronounced and defined by Pope Pius IX in 1854, and it states this. In the first instant of her conception, she was preserved exempt from all stain of original sin. What does that mean? Mary was born sinless. That's Catholic dogma. She was born without sin. Now, while this was common in paganism, and the paganism worship in varied stories, the result was that her entrance into the world made her superior to other mortals and divine, to where Mary's entrance into the world involved a supernatural element as well. But to teach that Mary was born without original sin, nowhere matches Scripture. In fact, the Catholic Encyclopedia says, no direct or categorical and stringent proof of the dogma, and it is dogma, can be brought forward from Scriptures. Now, let me pause just for a moment. If they don't get it from scriptures, and they don't stand on it from scriptures today, where do they, and I'll give them credit for saying that, where do they get it from? Tradition. It is the tradition of the church that so many people have a hard time walking away from. Rather, those ideas were, the Catholic Encyclopedia goes on and says, a gradual development within the church, but they are not anywhere provable from Scripture. Now, here you see a basic difference between Roman Catholicism and biblical Christianity. We say, if the Bible says it, there it is. They say tradition is equal or in some cases higher than the Bible, which can be very dangerous. We will look at it here. Go ahead and turn to Colossians chapter 2. I'll look at some verses here. The Roman Church acknowledges it has grace and developed around a multitude of traditions and ideas that were handed down by the church fathers over the century. Now, these concepts blended together, and they became the dogmas, and they are dogmas, of the church. But I want you to notice in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of man, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. And they exalt the traditions of the church. Mark chapter 7. I won't read Matthew chapter 15, but it's very similar to what we'll read here in Mark chapter 7. Mark 7, I want to begin in verse 3. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands oft, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the market, now let me pause for a minute. This is even before Catholicism, but this paganism had crept in. And when they came from the market, except they wash, they eat not, and many other things there be which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups and pots, brazen vessels, and of tables. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, why walk not the disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? He answered and said unto them, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as of the washing of pots and cups, and many such like things ye do. And he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whosoever curses father and mother, let him die the death. But ye say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is Corban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. And ye suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such like things do ye. I mean, they held tradition, which is the Pharisees did. And they would do something against their parents, and then they would make a little gift, and it would all be well, but they really didn't honor their parents. It was a mess. Now, when the Protestant Reformation stated this, sola scriptura, they said the scriptures are final. And that was one of the key phrases of the Protestant Reformation when it first came in the early 1500s. Sola scriptura. It sought to return to the scriptures. And when Martin Luther nailed his thesis, 95 points of doctrine that the Catholic Church was wrong, on the church door at Wittenberg, I'd love to have been there when he did that, they didn't really want to pull out and out of the church completely. They wanted to see the Catholic Church go back, which it never really had much to begin with, to the Scriptures. The Scriptures do not offer any proof for the idea of Immaculate Conception of Mary. As a matter of fact, there is evidence to the contrary. So, and we'll see this beginning next week, while she was a vessel chosen of the Lord, and she's certainly a godly and virtuous woman, and she was a virgin, she was human as much as any member out of Adam's family. The only, look at Luke chapter 1 now, Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke 1, verse 47. The only exception that somebody did not have a sinful nature was Jesus Christ himself. She needed a Savior, and she admitted that she needed a Savior. Here in Luke 1:47, she says, "My spirit has rejoiced in God my what? Savior." If she needed a Savior, she wasn't a Savior herself. She needed a Savior. And if she needed a Savior, then she needed to be saved. And what does God save people from? Sin. She needed to be saved, and she needed to be forgiven, and she needed to be redeemed, just like we do. Our Lord's divinity did not depend on his mother's being some type of exalted divine person. He was divine because he was the only begotten Son of God. His divinity came from his heavenly Father, not from his earthly mother, which is a simple way to explain it. Go back to Matthew chapter 12. Verse 46. While he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak to him. Then one said unto him, "Behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee." But he answered and said unto him that told him, "Who is my mother, and who are my brethren?" And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, "Behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother." Now, anybody who does the will of God in a very definite sense, then, is on the same level of Mary. Now, by the way, the Hail Mary is not the only prayer that Catholics pray to Mary. It is said sometimes alone. It is said in penance. It is said in the rosary. But there's the Litanus of the Blessed Virgin and other things. There is another doctrine that I want you to be aware of when you deal with Catholicism. And it's that of perpetual virginity. Meaning this, that Mary remained a virgin throughout her life. The Encyclopedia Britannica said, at the Council of Chalcedon in 451, this gained the official recognition of Rome. Now, let's look at Matthew 13, verse 55. Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren, James, Joseph, Simon, and Judah? He's got four brothers. Mary had other children. And his sisters, which is plural, are they not all with us? Usually when all is there, it means more than two, but let's just say that the plural of sisters is two only, just to make it smaller. He still had four brothers and two sisters. Whence then hath this man all these things? So he's got four brothers minimum and two sisters minimum. Go back to chapter 1 of Matthew. And it says this concerning Mary when she was pregnant with the Lord Jesus. Now go back to verse 24. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, that is, the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till. So she didn't remain a virgin. Joseph had no physical relationship with her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. But Mary didn't remain a virgin the rest of her life. She had the other children by the natural way that women have children. In 1951, 60-some years ago, some taught that Mary's body never saw corruption. St. Bernard of the Roman Catholic position said, quote, "On the third day after Mary's death, when the apostles gathered around her tomb, they found it empty." No book and chapter is listed for where he got that from. The sacred body had been carried up to the celestial paradise. The grave had no power over one who is immaculate. But it was not enough that Mary was or should be received into heaven. She was to be no ordinary citizen. She had dignity beyond the reach even of the highest of the archangels. Mary was to be crowned Queen of Heaven by the Eternal Father. She was to have a throne at her Son's right hand. And while I've read about where Jesus is on the Father's right hand, I haven't read about the other. And then he goes on and he says this, "Now, day by day and hour by hour, she is praying for us, obtaining graces for us, preserving us from danger, shielding us from temptation, showering down blessings upon us." I don't know. I thought there was one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. I thought that every good gift and every perfect gift comes from the Father up above. I thought James wrote something like that. Now these ideas, turn to John's Gospel, the third chapter, about Mary are linked with the belief that she bodily ascended into heaven. But the Bible does not really anywhere speak to that. John, let me find John, chapter 3, verse 13. "And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven, but not his mother." Let me just say a few more things. Praying to Mary is associated to the rosary. What is the rosary? That's another thing of the Catholic Church. Basically, it's a chain. It goes like this. And then there's a little, it comes together. And then there's a little chain. And on the end of that little chain, there's a cross. There are 15 small beads along the chain. And they're marked off by a large bead. At the end of this chain, there is a medal where the little chain hangs down, and that there's an emblem on that medal of Mary imprinted on it. And there's a short chain after that, and the crucifix is on that. The crucifix is the cross that still has Jesus on the cross. The beads are for counting prayers, and they are repeated over and over and over and over. If you've been to a Catholic funeral and you've seen the person in the casket with a rosary usually on them, you'll see all those beads. And as they pray the rosary, my mother used to pray the rosary every night. And I don't know all the numbers exactly, but there was the Hail Mary, the next one. These are all Hail Marys, bead, 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 and then the big one, Our Father. And she'd pray all the way around that from this side. She'd go all the way around that chain and pray the rosary. That's what that was. Oh, vain repetition. Over and over and over. By the way, that was also a pagan practice. I won't go into it, but the people of Nineveh did that years and years ago. Muslims had also done the same thing years and years ago. Buddhists in Japan did it years ago, and others did it as well. But the most often repeated prayer on the rosary, and I don't think the one in second is even close, is the Hail Mary. Now, the goddess Diana worshippers use a religious phrase over and over. Acts 19:39 says, "But if ye inquire anything concerning other matters, it shall be determined." That's not the verse I wanted. But they pray to Diana over and over. Go back to Matthew 6. Vain repetition. Matthew 6 and verse 7. But when ye pray, Jesus said, use not vain repetition as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. You know, when you come here tonight, you don't have to pray for an hour. Just because you can, you know, go on and on and on, that doesn't make you any more spiritual than the person who doesn't do that. You're not going to be heard for your much speaking. If you want to pray long, you can. But if you don't want to, you don't have to. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. And he never mentioned, Hail Mary, full of grace. He said, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. This is really a model prayer in how you should pray. You pray to the Father. Hallowed be thy name talks about praise. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as it on earth as it is, is in heaven. You pray for God's will to be done. Give us this day our daily bread. You do pray for daily needs, and forgive us our debts. You confess your sins as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. There the Bible's, when I got my, after I got saved, because I was taught this, and I was taught this, it's amazing. As a Baptist preacher, I'm taught, you think only Baptists go to heaven, but I don't believe that. But as a Catholic, we were taught that only Catholics go to heaven, and I dogmatically believed it. Now I don't believe it, and I was never accused of it then. Now I don't believe it, but I do get accused of it. But we don't believe that stuff. So I go to the Mass, and I went one time. And I sat back, and I listened to the priest do his thing, and the wafer, and I didn't partake of the communion and all that. But I thought to myself, there is something seriously wrong here. I didn't know any Bible. I didn't know anything, if you want. I'm not even sure I owned a complete Bible. And I don't know what it is, but when I leave here, I will never come back to this except, and then later on, of course, for funerals maybe. But I never went back. But as I started to read my Bible, I started to come across verses like, there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And I thought, how come I'm praying to Mary? Then I read a verse that says, don't use vain repetition. Like that one we just read there in Matthew. And I thought, man, we use vain repetition all the time. That's all we ever did was vain repetition. Call no man father on the earth, for one is your Father, which is in heaven. Do you know when you walk into a cubicle and you talk to the priest and you're going to confess your sins to him, you say something like, let me think of it. Thank you. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. And if you don't say it word perfect, he corrects you. And our priest... And you'd see him at the store, if you said, hello, Mr. Riley. No, that's Father Riley. Well, after I got saved, it was always Mr. Riley. But, you know, you read stuff like that. There's venial and mortal sins. I haven't quite got figured out what that is yet either, as I haven't come across that in my Bible. But the list started going on and on. I could give you a lot more on this, but I'm not. I think the last 3 weeks have been enough. But this is a pagan religion. And when you witness to a Catholic, if they say they're saved, that does not mean they're saved. If they say they've received Christ, they think they have received Christ. They think they receive Christ at every Mass. When they take the Eucharist, they really think that. By the way, I won't get into the doctrine of transubstantiation, but they really believe, that's not the word I want. Yeah, it is. They really believe that when the priest, this sounds disrespectful, but you know, so don't get mad at me. It's like hocus pocus. This just became the literal body of Christ. You know. I'm sorry, Jerry, that's right. After the bell gets rung. Tony, you were a bell ringer, weren't you? All right. And, you know, after you ring the bell. So all this stuff, the priest, he gets to drink the wine. Somewhere they made that where the normal person couldn't drink the wine. You know, if you do an awful lot of masses throughout the day, by the end of the day, I got to think that priest is a little on the tipsy side. But anyway, what's that? He's happy. So, but anyway, I just started learning more and more and more about the paganism that is involved in this. And it
it centers around Mary, but she was a godly woman. She didn't want any of that. She never asked for any of that. It was the traditions of men, and they had this pagan religion that goes back to the Tower of Babel in Nimrod, and the Christian leaders over here were compromisers and liberals, and they merged the two together, and they came up with this form of religion that is pagan at its roots, mixed in with Christianity, and it did. They thought they could get more people, and they were right. They did get more people. It was an awful thing. I don't hate Catholic people. I don't hate them at all. Most of my family is still Catholic. I don't hate my family. I love my family. But the truth is, they're not saved. I have a brother saved, a sister saved, that love the Lord and serve the Lord. But the rest of them are steeped in this. It's paganism. That's what it is. I can't think of any other word to say. And they're just like the traditions of men. We love Catholics. We want to see Catholics saved. Hey, they're good people. A lot of them are good neighbors. A lot of them are good people. Some of them aren't. When I grew up down the road here, our guy, the very next house down on this side, now we didn't live in the city, so he was further away than the creek. But we could hear him and his wife arguing and fighting all the time. And I mean, the letters, the words that they said were like, whoa. And he was the head deacon over here at the Catholic Church in New London. And it was, he was the groundskeeper and all that. It was amazing to me how he could be so, take the collection up on Sunday and everything else and live like the devil the rest of the week. I could never figure that out, but that's what he did. And we knew all the kids in his family, and we knew those guys, and both him and her were drunks. It's unbelievable. So it really is not a saving religion. Try to reach Catholics. So as we talk about Mary, I just want you to know that we are not elevating Mary up to a place of worship. But we'll give her proper due here beginning next week, according to Scripture. Father, that was a little bit of history and some of the pagan beliefs that came into a false doctrine. We could say more about the definitions that are given for Rome and the colors of the church and all that, about Mystery Babylon. God, I pray that we would never allow our... You know what? This is why we are not ecumenical. We don't rub shoulders with everybody. We don't rub shoulders with those of false doctrine. Not ecclesiastically, anyway. We have friends, we have relatives that are that persuasion, but our church does not fellowship and hobnob with churches that are of not like faith. May we stand strong on biblical doctrine. It is the thing that makes Christianity different than the rest of the religions of the world, is the biblical doctrine that it stands on. God, help us to stand on it. In Jesus' name, amen.